Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is David Murphy, publisher of the National Black Unity News, and I want to welcome everybody who's on Blog Talk Radio as well as Facebook Live. And I want to always welcome our panel here. We have quite a few people chiming in right now. Dr. Pender, Kendall King L, and Vernon Streeter, Fran Allen, Mr. Neil Spencer, and of course, yours truly, Brother Satavi Jahi. And before we get started, I want to start on a positive note. And normally we will bring Brother Satavi in, so that's what we're normally going to do tonight, is we're going to bring him in because I think I need to hear something positive this evening. So Brother Satavi, you got it, sir.
Yes, sir, David. Thank you. We come in here each and every week. We do readings and daily motivations for African-American success, book written by Mr. Dennis Kimbrough, and the reading for the day, October the 24th. A one-track mind. It took me 20 years, but I knew what I wanted and I knew what I could do. Walter Turnbull, founder of the Harlem's Boys Choir. Read for the night. Each of us is born with two minds, a can-do mind and a can't-do mind. An excellent way to get acquainted with these two types of minds is to look upon the subconscious as a garden. You are the gardener, and you are planting seeds, thoughts, in your subconscious mind based on your own thinking. As you sow, so shall you reap. That which is possible only becomes possible after you have used your can-do mind. The can-do mind believes in success, abundance, health, and prosperity. Can't-do mind, on the other hand, succumbs to negative thinking, fear, and disbelief. It nurtures feelings of lack, limitation, ignorance, and discord. In one respect, both achievement and failure alike deploy their greatest gift, the use of their minds. However, which one utilizes the positive and the other employs the negative? One makes use of the can-do mind and reaps all of the blessings that it bears. The other struggles sensibly with the sadder side of life and all too often adapts to life's shortcomings. Those who have craved their names under the tablet of success have a deep understanding of the workings of these two minds. Long before their goals became apparent, they made a conscious decision to lose their minds and rid themselves of all negative thinking. The same applies to you. In order to exchange external conditions and experience all the good this world has to offer, you must first make a conscious decision to lose your negative mind. Today, I will use the key to my success. I will use my can-do mind. That's our reading for the night, October the 24th. And it's right. You can do it. You can do it if you just stick to it. Every way and every day, we're getting better and better and better. And that's one of the things we used to have, one of the affirmations we used to have children recite in our camp was, hey, I feel good about myself. I feel good about the people around me. I feel goodness all around me because I walk with good and I talk with good and I am good. Good, better, best, never let it rest. Till you're good as you're better and you're better as you're best. You can do it. You can do it if you just stick to it. Every day and every way, I'm getting better and better and better. And that's what we all got to, look at, being able to say to ourselves and, repeat those affirmations. I do them every day in the morning. I look in the morning mirror, and that's how I start my day. I start my day with those affirmations, and I've been doing it for like over 30 years. So, hey, that's a little just something, to share with our listening audience as we move forward in this journey called life. So, thank you, David. Back to you, sir.
All right. Thank you, Brother Satavi. Like I said, I needed to hear that because I had some things on my mind this evening. That's why I say when you watch media, even though I'm in media, it can influence your mind or it can invoke some serious thoughts from time to time. But you mentioned something negative, you know, and positive, and I do know that we do have a choice. And if you see a negative or a problem, or you know, at least try to bring a solution to it, you know. And before I get into what the National Black Unity News is and what it does, you know, I just want to share because it's on my mind. Today, I was a part of an email that, you know, blast. Somebody mentioned my name and Bill Gooden, and it was from this gentleman. He didn't put it in there, but people responded to him. This happened to be the gentleman they call our the warrior lawyer. And I can't think of his whole name right now. But he's representing this young man in Baltimore. Some of you may have heard about this because this news story went nationwide. And in Baltimore, they had these children to come up to your car and wash your windows, and they deemed them as squeegee children or squeegee persons. And one day, this gentleman came up there, and some kind of confrontation came out, and this gentleman parked his car and walked over about 7 or 8 lanes of traffic wielding a baseball bat. And then they said it went kind of hazy from that. But in any case, the gentleman, who weighs about 267 pounds, I think, and this little boy, I think he's no more than 130 pounds, 40. But in any case, this gentleman ended up getting shot, and he died in this incident. And it made a lot of noise because people been upset with a lot of these children out here, or people out here trying to earn a dollar washing windows. And it can be a hassle for some, and some people look at it, at least they're willing to work for it. But, you know, like I say, this is the power of the press, the power of media. And this same little article went out because he said today, the state's attorneys offered this young boy, he's 15 years, he was 14 when this and that, he's 15 years old now. They offered him a deal, a plea deal, as they call it. They offered him 60 years in jail if he would plead guilty and he had an intent to kill this man, even though it was, you know, that's just crazy to me. But 60 years to a 15-year-old boy. You know, I've seen people who have done mass murders and kill people, you know, police officers and everything, and don't get that kind of time. And that's a deal, they say, for a 15-year-old child. And then, to make matters worse, they've been blasting this on the news all day. And, you know, and the public of opinion of the public, you know, this is how media work, propaganda work. And now they blasting it all in because, you know, taking the deal as if he was already guilty of it. And then another thing is, too, then the news reporter went on to say, oh, yeah, by the way, we've been having some more problems over since this incident happened with other squeegee children. And that tonight we're going to bring those stories up and see how they build stuff up, you know, And this poor child sitting up there, 15 years old, and I personally think he shouldn't even be in there. You know, first of all, he's a child. And first of all, I'm 200-something pounds myself. And if a man come after me, when cross 7 lanes with a baseball bat coming at me like that, angry like that, yes, I will. I got to protect myself. I ain't going to let him hurt me. And you know, if it was flipped over, and if I came across a thing with a baseball bat at somebody else's child and they had to have a gun and shoot me, I can almost guarantee you certain entities would say that was self-defense. And it wouldn't been no problem. You know, he shouldn't have came across the street. He should have stayed in his car. He should have, you know, that's the case they would say about me. I can almost guarantee you that. But at the same time, ladies and gentlemen, see, that's the power of media. And most of the people on here, we have a few new people on here that are guests, you know, but I'm just going to say this to you. This is the power of the media, the power of press. I can sway you, lead you to opinions that, you know, that you may not have went this way or that way, but through subliminal messages and everything else, you're getting these conscious messages. Now, they're constantly talking about other squeezy children, and then, you know, subconsciously, they want to form an opinion about this young man, and by the time the news finished with him, he's going to be guilty. He's just a nuisance. And he shouldn't have did this and shouldn't have did that. But nevertheless, you know, I feel bad about both families because two families are messed up because of this incident. But again, you have to think, one is a child, and they think like a child, and one was a grown man. And hopefully he should have thought like a grown man. There's other ways to handle that. But in any case, that's the negative part of the media. But then there's also, like Brother Satavi was saying, there's a positive side of the media. And one of the positive sides is the National Black Unity News, because that's exactly what we do. We put out solution-oriented information. We put out information that you cannot get nowhere else in this world. We have a bunch of editors. That's what we call editor people, individuals who are concerned about us as the people, who's willing to share information about their experiences in life. And also, they not only are they willing to share, but they help support this publication financially. So they're putting their money where their mouth is as well, as some would say. And in this publication, since its inception, has now gone all over the world. And it's growing like wildfire now. And so, you know, that through the grace of God and through those individuals who we deem as editors in the National Black Unity News, see, it would not be any paper if it not worked for them, those who are participating. And many of them was on the podcast with us tonight. But see, again, with this negative media I was just sharing with you, see, it's a multitude of that. It's an army of that type of media out there. And yet we are still small voice through all of that clutter and clamor that's going on. But yet we are a voice, though. And our voices is being heard by a multitude of people. And I just want to encourage those who have supported this paper, who are thinking about supporting it, subscribe to this publication. See, this is the type of publication that, you know, you'll see the surface of it. I don't think you would ever find a black publication anywhere that you see this many people who look like us. I mean, that many people in one publication. I mean, I never seen one myself personally. I've been around the block once or twice, and I look for media. And but another thing is, too, you know, it is written that, you know, when you send out words that don't come back void, it always falls on somebody. And so, you know, so we don't know who our voices are, who's reading this publication, who hearts has been touched, but I do get a lot of feedback. And it's been extremely positive, as Brother Satavi was mentioning. And it does my heart good to know that us are making a difference in this world, but it's not enough of us. You see, unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to media, black, especially black newspapers, because of economic reasons or the way they are planning to see some of these publications, some of black media, black newspapers, majority of them have been around 50, 60, 70, and most of them been around at least 100 years. And they, the original publishers' heart was in a place that they wanted to make a difference. It had been handed down to generation now. And unfortunately, some of the younger generation didn't care as much as what the publisher had intended for the publication to be. And a lot of people using just as a cash cow or for other reasons. And sometimes, you know, not only in the newspaper business, but all industries, some people would actually sell their soul when they come to a dollar. You know, they're not mission-driven. And I thank God that I'm not boasting or bragging, but I am mission-driven. I'm the publisher. And I deal with a lot of people who's in the publication are mission-driven people. You know, we have a purpose in our, not only because we're doing it individually, but, you know, collectively, that's exactly what we're doing through the National Black Unity News. And I just want to say openly and publicly, I appreciate all the editors in the publication. Some of them came with us just for a season and for certain reasons. But you know, we had people who had stuck with us thick and thin, you know, and again, I tell everybody, and I'll say it, and I'm going to shout it until the day I die, is that I've been out here for a long time working for unity amongst us as people. And I've been in many meetings and many organizations and groups And unfortunately, you know, we had come together, but unfortunately, we couldn't stay together for a lot of reasons. Some of them was ideology, religion, some of them was a whole lot of different reasons. Some people wanted to be the head person in charge. Some groups wanted to take over that role and others wouldn't. And so therefore, things got squandered. It just never thing came to fruition or anything. But one thing I did see in my latter years, the last 3 or 4 years, is the people behind the National Black Unity News. You see, ladies and gentlemen, you know, the paper is one thing, but the people behind the scenes, those people I call redeemed editors, those who had, we have formed such a relationship with one another, it's like family. It's even beyond family, because you can share something with the people in this publication that you cannot share with your own family, and not even with some of your friends, and because you know they care. You know they have a heart. And so I'm so grateful to be around such a group of people because, I know now, you know, that we are together. We can come together. So we are living examples of what we're talking about. And this whole public, we actually did this. And we are doing it. And so, you know, again, I'm so grateful. And I encourage you, ladies and gentlemen, that you subscribe to this publication. Let it come to your house. Read it. Go through these pages. Read these articles about these individuals on here. And I can guarantee it will make your life, your day much brighter. You'll be much more informed. And so many other things. Like I say, you know, the information in this publication, again, you will not get any place in the world. So, again, I thank you, Brother Satari, for sharing that information with us. And I thank, again, the editors in the National Black Unity News. And but before we get started, I just want to share something with, you know, some of the people on here. Because, like I say, you know, it is truly amazing about the type of people that we are working with on here. And I'm going to start with my brother because I just happened to see some footage on him. Unfortunately, it was at a funeral. One of our editors lost his wife, and this gentleman just happened to be one of the speakers at the funeral, another editor of ours. Brother Dr. Leroy McKenzie, can you unmute yourself, sir?
Absolutely. Good evening, everybody. Good evening.
Yes, sir. How are you?
I'm good. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me okay? Okay. I don't have earbuds anymore. I got these big earmuffs over my ears, so.
Yeah, we hear you loud and clear here. You know, Doc, you know, like I say, you know, I just want to share, because we talked a little bit about this last week, you know, about what individuals are doing. But, you know, I just want people to know the type of people that we deal with in this publication and how we best, you know, can serve our community. Because I said, if it's not us, then who? You know, if we don't stand up, who will? You know, it's that man in the mirror, Father. I'm to say, you know, we can talk all we want to, but if you personally are not doing nothing, you know, sitting back and doing nothing, then you got to point them fingers at yourself, because each and every one of us can make a difference. And, brother, you are making a difference. You're making a difference in the National Black Unity News, but you're making a difference on all these other things that you're doing. Can you share with the people, man? And don't be shy, brother. You know, toot your horn. Because if we don't start tooting our horns or start telling our stories, then, you know, our children need to hear this. You know, our people need to hear it. It's not boasting or bragging. It's just fact that some of the things that we do. So, you know, share with some of, you know, some of the things that you do, sir.
Sure. I mean, and this, you know, what I do it because of my passion and my love that I have for, one, first and foremost, my God, but then second for my family, and then third for my people. And it's about making us better. So the things that I do, I do the things to enlighten, empower, and impact people's lives in such a way that they'll be made better. And I usually take it year by year. And I say, my mission, my purpose is always to make you better by the end of the year than you were at the beginning of the year. And so I try to do things throughout the year to help to make people better and say that. So, you know, that's just my purpose of everything that I do, and everything that I do ties into my partnerships and my business that I have, which is JNF Enterprises LLC, and assisting people to bring their visions to reality, and seeing people bring their visions to reality is such a gives me joy, and it just ignites a fire in me to be able to see us flourish, especially as a people. And that's one of the things that that drew me to the National Black Unity News and the purpose of it, Brother U David and everyone else. When we first met and we started talking about the newspaper and came to know you and all what the newspaper does and you and Mr. Bill and just all of the great things that you all are doing. You all are the unsung heroes to me of not just Baltimore but just of us as a community as a whole, because y'all have been on the front lines for a long time and you all make it easier and make it better for us. So I thank you for that. But what I do with the National Black Unity News is just tell people about it. I tell them about a newspaper about the community, for the community and the community. And I stress that you're not – the stories that you read about, that you hear about, that you see in the National Black Unity News, you're not going to readily hear about on mainstream media. The editors that write for the National Black Unities are like no other. You're not going to get these stories from here all the way over to the motherland in Africa, where we touch down over there as well, and the diaspora as a whole. So I just tell people about that. I mean, and Friday I was at an event. And of course, I had the papers with me. had the papers there so that I can tell people about it, spread the word about it, and everything. And one of the young ladies that was at the event, she has, and I forgot the editor's name. It's I forgot her name, so I'm not even gonna try. But she was like, "Oh, my friend writes for the National Black Unity News." And she said, she had told me about it. She had been telling me about it, told me that she was in the current issue. And she was like, "Oh, I finally get a full copy right there that she didn't have before." So she was so excited to be able to have the paper, as a result of it and everything like that. And so things like that. Give the paper, acknowledgement, but it also spreads the word, because I know she's going to take the newspaper, she's going to want to tell a friend about it, because she's going to talk to her about it, about, having the paper and everything, but then she's going to tell people, other people, she's going to show other people the newspaper and everything that it has to bear and has to give to every, to everyone. So that's just that. But then one more thing, and then I'm going to, and you were talking about it, and I hope we'll talk a little bit more about it too. You were talking about the young Squeegee kid. And earlier today, or this morning, I saw the Warrior Lawyer. I don't know if y'all know who he is, but Brother Jay Wendell Gordon. Mm-hmm. About him and Warren Brown have picked. So he got some good, strong folks behind him with this. But he put out a post, and I think I posted it to the page. If not, I'll make sure that I do. But he gave, he's trying to get those of us that are in media that have some, kind of our networks to be able to put this out there, just like he did with the young lady that had been shot here by the police some years ago that he had taken on her case. So I was like, I want to do my part to spread the word. I want to let people know about, what they're doing, not only to this young boy, but what they're doing, this campaign that they have against these Squeegee kids altogether. It's ridiculous to me that the only ones that they, the only panhandlers that they seem to be going after are these Squeegee kids, these young boys. Yeah. All they're doing, and I've said this, all they're doing is trying to survive. And I get it. I get it. But they're trying to survive. And when you have situations that happen with this young boy, that comes up, and he's just following. So he's going to do what he has to do, just like I believe any of us would do. So I'm so happy, I'm so happy that Jay Wendell is on the case. I'm glad that Warren Brown is on the case, because I know they're going to fight tooth and nail. They're going to bring it, you know, so that this young boy does not have to. That was a joke and a slap in the face to say that, oh, we're going to give you a plea deal of 60 years. What kind of plea is that? For somebody that attacked you, got out of your car, I mean, got out of their car and attacked you with an aluminum bat. I was just like, unbelievable. Unbelievable. So I'm glad you brought it up tonight. I'm glad you talked about it tonight.
Yeah, that it messed with me greatly. You know, this is kind of arrogance that takes place. And you did mention, you know, that's the only one they seem to pick on. But do you know, when we go through Baltimore City, there's a whole host of other people that do not look like us.
Yep.
And not only they don't look like us, I mean, I'm not saying anything about somebody down on the left, but they are very unclean. And they sticking their hands all in your car begging for money. They not even willing to work for, but nobody says too much about them, you know. And you can travel throughout the city and see them all over the place. But, you know, that's the tale of the two cities, as they say. But in any case, thank you, brother. I appreciate that. Dr. Pender, can you unmute yourself?
Absolutely.
I'm here at your service.
Yes, sir. Now, Dr. Pender is another gentleman. Man, I'm telling you, this man got so many arms in the fire, you could burn the whole town down. But in any case, but you know, he's a soldier. He's been out there for a long time on the front line, providing, serving, protecting us as a people. He not only is he an author, but he's a true servant, and he really want to help change, you know, he's been doing it for 40, 50 years, maybe longer. And Dr. Pender, you got some things going on right now. You care to share?
Yes. We're beginning a campaign, a nationwide campaign, and it's in the books. It's Beginning the Soul of America. And the Soul of America begins with us as a people, so that we not put our dependency on this, on America itself, but put our dependency back on God. So we began to work to redo our books with workbooks in the back. In other words, if you deal with depression, fear, loneliness, all these particulars, all this is in the workbook, and everything goes back to the owner's manual, which is the Bible. So we worked it in such a way is that you read yourself into wholeness. And so in my field in counseling psychology, that's basically what we do is we get people to naturally do things. They would naturally inclinize, well, they would naturally do something that they normally wouldn't do just by reading. Reading and all they do is fill in the blanks, and that's it. So that's what we are now. And thanks be the Lord for a lady by the name of Trudy. She is spot on, one of the best secretaries around the planet.
All right. And we're looking forward to it, and as you already
it's in
know.
Paper. It's, in, yes. It's in this paper. It's
yes.
The book is The Religion of Greed's Impact on African American Workbook. It begins right there, but we're going to spread it into other publications.
All right. So, you know, y'all heard it from the man himself. Get the natural. Like I said, you get information in here that you will not get anyplace else. So we encourage those who are on Facebook Live and on Blog Talk Radio, you can go to our publication. It's tnbun.com, tnbun.com. Get a subscription, but you also can see it in real time on our Facebook page. So, again, it's tnbun.com. And, I am so pleased because we have told some of our stories and we are telling our stories now. But, you know, in this year alone, in my little part of the city, Emerson Village is called, in a two blocks radius, I saw two signs go up, the two people I knew personally. And it's Mr. McCoy on Allendale Street up in Emerson Village. They got a street named after him now, at Emerson and Allendale. And the same street that I live on, not the same block, but the same street, Lyndhurst Street, is now Congressman Cummins' way is up there now that they just did this past weekend. And I got Cummins, I'm just saying this man is a warrior. I mean, this is not, I ain't never seen nobody like him before. And I'm beholden to not only what he had done for us as a people, but on a personal basis. You know, he even spoke at my brother's funeral. You know, and I was so pleased because of that. And but there was another young lady that's working with us that does so much. See, this is what I'm talking about. We got some powerful, powerful people who do wonderful and great things that you would never know if we don't pull it out of them sometimes, they ain't going to take it. That's why I say we have to tell our stories. And this is Fran Al. She knows where I'm going. And not only is she an author, a motivational speaker, and I'm just trying to mute people because I hear a lot of background noise, and a motivational speaker, but she's a good friend. She is a warrior in so many different ways. And I had the highest respect for this young lady. And she's doing great and wonderful things. You know, she worked with our youth. She's in the ministry. She's serving the needy. I mean, she just does so much, you know, over the years. And Fran, I see you seeing that signpost up there with Cummins' name on it. And share with people not only who you are, but how you and Mr. Cummins come to be. You know, some of the things that you have served with him. See, a lot of people don't know that behind every man who out here doing something, just like the people look at me and say, David Murphy's doing this. No. I got an army behind me, you know. So what was your thoughts when you saw that?
Oh, well, first of all, good evening, everyone. I'm grateful to be on the call this evening. You know, I'm going in so many different directions, but I try to get on whenever I can. Elijah Cummings Way. It's on the street. It's on Lyndhurst, but it's on the block of Lyndhurst that he grew up on. He grew up in at, I think it's... No, I'm not going to call the address. But anyway, it's on that block where his mother lived for many, 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 many years and raised all seven of her children, Elijah being one. And it was amazing. You know, I was in church and I could hear my phone pinging and I was kicking myself because I should have turned it off before I went into the service. So, you know, I took a little peek at it, which I probably shouldn't have done, but I did anyway. And I saw the video. Yvonne, his sister, had sent me the video, and I was just really, it made me smile. It really did my heart good to see that he's still influencing. He's gone on to glory. He's running around in his mansion, can't find his glasses, and don't remember where he put his shoes. And he's still influencing people on this earth to do something positive, to be better, to do better, to know better, just because you can. So I've known Mr. Cummings for a very long period of time. I was with him in the State House when he was a delegate, when he got elected as a Speaker Pro Tem, the second highest position in the state of Maryland, and he was the first African-American to ever hold that seat. It was a fight. They tried to put his office in something that resembled a janitor's closet. And I fought like hell and got him the Speaker Pro Tem's office before him, which was a suite of offices. I just couldn't let him do it. They let the white boy have a suite of offices, but they was going to put the black man in a broom closet. I wasn't having it. And we worked it out. And then Kwaisi stepped down. And Elijah decided to run, and I became his deputy campaign manager for his inaugural run to Congress. And needless to say, we were very successful because he sat in that seat for nearly 25 years, so before his death, and only got out of the seat because God called him. Because he could have sat in that seat until, right. And he did. He sat in that seat until God called him. So, that was an amazing thing to see, and I was very proud and very happy to see it. Very happy for his family, too, because he, you know, he did a lot of work, and he helped a lot of people. And I retired from his office as his district director. Thought I was going to sit down. Yeah, not so much. So that's the year that I became an editor in the paper. That's the year that... I took a year off and went on vacation for a year, and it really wasn't a vacation because I was writing articles and I wrote another book, and Then I decided not to publish it. That's crazy. You write a book and you don't publish it, but that's all right. It was a cathartic experience, and I don't think the book was for everybody else as much as it was to pour some stuff out of me so that I could get some things out of my way. Anyway, I decided to buy a house in North Carolina and move from Baltimore to outside of Raleigh here in North Carolina. Joined a church, and since then I've been working in the food ministry. We go out 3 days a week, every week, and feed people in our community who don't have vehicles and can't come and get the food, so we take it to them. I'm working in the women's ministry as well, and that is a place where we learn how to have a stronger walk with God, a better relationship with each other as well. And that has truly been it's truly been a life-changing experience to have that many Black women in the room all supporting and loving on each other, as opposed to in the work world where everybody was sniping and ambushing people. So this is a wonderful place to be. As people know, I'm the national editor of self-development for the National Black Unity News. And my goal every week is to give people a different perspective about who they are, who they can become, and what they can still do. I mentor also a 9-year-old little boy that I found at my church who wanted to write, and I told him if he'd write a story, I'd put it in the paper. So he wrote a story, and I put it in the paper. And he's been writing a story every quarter, and I've been putting it in the paper. He is so excited about it. So, you know, we just got our new copies, and I took them some extra copies because he wanted to give one to his grandmother and his grandfather. He is the sweetest little thing. But he writes about serious stuff, y'all. It's not just, you know, his first article was about Emmett Till and Mamie Till and how Mamie and his mama was alike and how they loved their families and would do anything for their families. His second story was about the mass shootings and why they bothered him so much. And his last story was about the responsibilities of becoming a big brother because his mother just had a baby. And it's the sweetest thing to see this young man sharing his ideas, his thoughts. You know, we clean up the grammar, but the content, the message, that's all him. And he started when he was 8, and he's 9 now. He will correct you quickly. I'm 9. So he is a 9-year-old young man that is up-and-coming rising star. I've also just created a YouTube channel because all of those positive things that I think and I say to folks is that people were telling me, you need to be on YouTube so people can see this and they can do this. And David's been telling me to do a podcast forever. And I finally have broken down. I'm starting to develop a podcast, and it's going to be called Ordinary People Doing Extraordinary Things. And it's really all about telling our story from our perspective about all the things that we do that mainstream media will not show anybody else. So I doubt that there will be any people that don't look like me, because that's not my focus. It's all about how Black people, Black men father their children. You know, they won't put a story on mainstream media anywhere about a Black man taking care of his children because they keep telling everybody that we don't. But that's not true. It was never true, and I'm about to put it on the air. Many other things. Single moms going to school and running businesses and raising kids and living in beautiful homes. You know, they always put the one on with the pink rollers and the snaggle tubes and the house shoes coming out public housing, talking about, you know, what they're doing. And that's a lie, too. There are people who are in those sorts of situations, but there are, for every one of those, there's 100 others that are in a much better situation because they fought to get there, not because anybody gave them anything, but because they decided that they were not going to accept less than what they deserved, and they went after it, and they got it. Struggled, and they made it. And their kids are doctors and lawyers and architects. And they're astronauts, and they're brain surgeons, and, you know, who's telling their story? These kids struggling, they're in Harvard, and they're in Yale, and they're at Columbia and Princeton. Who's telling their story? who's telling their story. So
you will be. I know you.
I'm about to. That's right.
That's what I'm talking about.
So that's all I'm doing. Besides running up and down 95 every once in a while when I decide I want another little taste of Baltimore, I need some Maryland crab soup, I come up and get it.
That's what I'm talking about. Well, friend, you know we appreciate you. And like you say, you know, an eagle will always be an eagle. A lion will always be a lion. They ain't talking about no retirement. They're going to be eagles and lions till the day they die. So keep on roaring and keep on soaring, young lady.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
And speaking of them signs, there's another young man on there, Mr. Michael Haney. Can you unmute yourself, sir? How you doing, sir?
David, how you doing? How's everyone doing? It's so good. I've been listening to everyone. I tell you, man, learning never stops.
Yeah, always be a student. And, you know, when I talk to you, sir, you know, you're so inspiring because, I meet a lot of people. And like I said, a lot of people will not tell you who they are and some of the roads that they had to travel. But to me personally, this gentleman here is such a institution. When I say institution, this brother is like a pioneer. And he paved some roads that many of us had never traveled before. This brother came up in the industry, the hospitality industry, and he went on through his struggles and through his hard work with to manage some of the largest hotels in the country. And not only did he manage them, but he brought a lot of people along with him, and he's still doing it. He's still on the front lines doing it. But then this brother noticed something else about himself. He started getting into podcast media, and he put on some powerful shows. I listened to these shows, man, and this brother really doing it. But then, you know, when you talk to people sometimes, and then little nuggets come out. See, he come from Emerson Village, too. That's where I grew up at, you know. I was talking about these streets out there two blocks apart, Allendale and Lyndhurst. And just recently, just this past summer, we have a mutual friend, and I never knew this, but, you know, I knew Mr. McCoy for years, you know, and but he said he used to work in this shop. You know, Mr. McCoy was like a mentor to him, big brother, father-like figure to him. And he was there also when they put a sign up there, because he, you know, Al is right across from the shop. And I saw him on the video, you know, out there with the family members and everything else. Like I say, Mr. Michael Haney, man, you know I appreciate you, and like you say, you do. I just want you to share with some of the things that you're doing, but I also want you to share, because what Fran just did, and I know what Michael's going to do, I believe I know what he's going to do, but it's good to know that these people that went on, you know, the glory to God, that they left something here, and that they was appreciated enough so that people would have put a memorial up about it. And so, you know, I just want you to share your story about, you know, the Emerson Village and you're working with Mr. McCoy, as well as some of the things that you do, sir.
Hey, well, I appreciate that, David. And first of all, Fran, how you doing, Fran? I owe Fran a call. I met Fran when she was working with Congressman Elijah Cummings, and that's when I discovered Fran was an artist, an author. Matter of fact, I have two of her books. And I know I owe you a call, Fran, but I just want to publicly say I apologize. And we're going to get that call. I'm excited to see what you're doing. And in terms of a podcast, you know, extraordinary things by ordinary people, you know, and I kind of like to categorize myself that way as well. I swept Mr. McCoy's barbershop, you know, for a number of years. That's how I gained some humility in addition to a bit of cash. You know, Mr. McCoy was like a father figure for me because I didn't have a father when I was growing up in the village. And he treated me and raised me as his son. You know what I'm saying? So he was a power of example, as many of you are to me now, you know, because I didn't know what it was to have a father in the house. And I always yearned for that. But Mr. McCoy did the best he could to fulfill that role and to give me a job sweeping hair on his floor from the age of 7. And so from that hair on the floor all the way to the halls of where the Nobel Peace Prize were handed out, in Amsterdam, I've traveled and had an opportunity to go to Africa, you know, You know, God is great. And as David mentioned, you know, now it's about advocacy. It's about what do I do? How do I give back? How do I expose people to information? I was listening to Dr. McKenzie talk about the recent incident with the 14-year-old turned 15-year-old that was accused of murder as an adult. And when I saw that today, I was, you know, it was, I'm like, okay, here we have a city with Black leadership. And how do you offer someone 15 years old, 60 years in prison? You know, I can't for the life of me figure this out in terms of where we as a people feel as though this is the right thing to do when we take charge and we're in control. Because I think it's under the auspices of a prosecutor that looks like us. You know, so I'm not sure what we're thinking. I'm not sure what we need to do, but I do know the power of our media. And I do know that Black Unity Newspaper, I can't reach for it now, but I've got one sitting always within reach so I can remind myself as to what our purpose is as a people to continue to inform each other, educate each other, regardless of where we are in this country or this world, David. And I really appreciate you asking me to unmute, man. I don't take it lightly. I don't take these meetings lightly, man. And it's just a continuing learning environment for me, David. Thank you so much for asking me to share.
Oh, man, I think, you know, I appreciate you. You know, like I said, I appreciate everybody on here because, like I say, we come from so many different perspectives, man. Like I said, that's why I say it's so amazing. And that's why I want to share your stories, a part of your stories. And, you know, a couple of us, Wayne Randall, Verna Street is on here with us tonight, too. You know, we will be doing documentaries on individuals. So if anybody on here would like to get a documentary done about some of your travels, some of the things that you do, we cannot tell your whole life story, but we would try if you want us to, but we can kind of deem it that. They say it's a document, you know, it's not your whole life story, but it's highlights of your life. And because it is extremely, extremely important that we share our story and we tell our story. So you see what happened to our fathers and our fathers' fathers. They took their story. They had no, you know, they wouldn't even allow them to share their stories. So today, our children and our children's children can know that we was here and we did make contributions. And your life is so unique. Nobody ever lived a life like yours. And so it's extremely important because from generation to generation, see right now, this is being recorded right now. All of our great-great-grandchildren can watch the same video that we're sharing right now this day. And to say that, yes, we did come together. We did have people who worked together. We did have people that care about us. And yes, you know, you've seen three brothers on there already mentioning this Squeegee Chummy because we were touched by that. That was, and that's why I was, it bothered me to even offer a child something like that. You know, I mean, man, and that was a deal, you know. And so thank God we had some brothers that stood up, and I'm going to stand up too. And with the brother, you know, I already sent him a notice, you know, to the lawyer, you know, if I can help, here I am. Because, you know, we can, these are our children, you know, and we can't let things like this go down. But any case, moving right along, because like I said, so many people on here, and there's another young lady, I haven't seen her in a while. And she, I think she is amazing. She's inspiring, and she's an author too. And, you know, but, you know, just like the rest of us, you know, this young lady, she's blind, but she sings like a songbird, you know, and she just had, you know, sometimes all of us fall short in some areas, some ways in our life. But, you know, God always compensates us with other gifts and talents. But it's up to us to utilize those gifts and talents. And I just thank God for this young lady because she inspires me. And I met her through her uncle, who is another person, man. And he's on this with us tonight, too. And that's from God Giving Hands, Rico Crowley. It's his niece I'm speaking about, and I happen to see on Sierra. How you doing? Unmute yourself if you can.
Good evening, Mr. Murphy. How are you?
I'm still here. How about yourself? How you doing?
I'm good. No need to complain. I'm blessed by the best.
All right. Let me
Thank you so much
for more
kind words.
Well, no, no, you know, the truth will set you free. And I just want you to let people know who you are and say a little bit about your books and other stuff, because I know you're involved not only in authoring, you're an entrepreneur and everything else that you're involved with. So share with us what's going on in your world.
So I am an entrepreneur. I've been an entrepreneur since I was a little girl, and I am an author of two books. The first book is a memoir about my life, being blind as a young girl and growing up, overcoming many obstacles. It's called God Ain't Done With Me Yet, Uniquely Blessed, that can be found on Amazon.com. I also have a website, which is uniquelyblessed1.com. So it's uniquelyblessed1.com. Part of the proceeds from each book that I sell goes to an amazing organization called God's Giving Hands, which is done and overseen by my Uncle Rico Crawley that Mr. Murphy was talking about, who is an amazing gentleman who believes in giving back to the community so that people who are homeless and are less fortunate than you and I can be warm in the winter months, have food, clothing, and hygiene products. My other book is called I Decided to Make Jesus My Choice, Praise and Devotions. It is prayer and journal book with pictures in it that makes you think, because Jesus thought it not robbery to come down off the cross, and he decided to die so that you and I could have life eternally. I also sell paparazzi jewelry. I want men and women to be handsome and fashion. So you can find these pieces at paparazziaccessories.com/354024. And we have rings, necklaces, earrings, hair pieces for special events like weddings, funerals, fashion shows, and any other eloquent event. I also have credit where I'm able to show you how to fix your credit. A lot of things are on your credit that people don't even know about. You're able to get medical collections deleted off of your account or get more money in your paycheck through correcting the W-9 form. So that's me, to name a few. I am a mother. I am a mentor. I'm a wife. And I'm family-oriented. And I just love this organization, because they believe in educating, informing, and just building up the community. So I thank God for just being a part of Black Unity News. I found out about Black Unity News through my Uncle Rico, and it has truly been amazing. I know you guys haven't seen me in a while because I've been in school, in meetings, taking classes, being a mentor, and doing a lot of conferences, and they keep calling me to do different things. So that's why you haven't seen me. Because I am the secretary and membership for the National Federation of the Blind of Maryland.
Man, amen. That's what I'm talking, physically, putting in work. And there's another young lady on here, Eartha Harris. Can you unmute yourself? And this is another young lady. Man, she's here, there. She's everywhere. She's been putting in work ever since I've known her. She's involved with so many activities and organizations. She's a radio host, a community activist, and she's probably working right now to doing, like you say, she's a multitasker. I mean, this young lady just moves here, there, and everywhere. Eartha, can you unmute yourself? If not, okay, so I'm going to just move right along. If, you know, just chime in when you can. And you know, there's a lot of people on here this evening, and I know I probably can't get to everybody, but speaking of young ladies, we have another young lady on here. Danielle, how are you this evening? Danielle, if you can you unmute yourself? Okay, we're going to move right along because there's quite a few people. But if you can't hear me, chime in when you can. All right. And there's a gentleman on here that's, you know, talking about telling stories, telling our stories, or telling somebody else's story, stories that need to be heard, things that we need to be reminded of. Mr. Ronald Miles, can you unmute yourself? How are you, sir?
Yes, yes, yes. I'll do that for you, David. How
yes,
are
sir.
You?
And this is another powerful gentleman. He's so many things I can say. His brother is active and, you know, and allow, I'm going to let him tell his own story. But I'm going to tell you another thing about this brother. You know, he's there when you need him. And he's involved with so many, you know, community activities, social activities. But one of the main things he's doing right now is extremely important from my perspective. It should be from all of our perspectives. But tell us about the what's going on in East Baltimore, especially with the Chick Webb situation.
Well, I tell you, we have to definitely watch what's going on here in Baltimore. And yes, you know that I am involved primarily with Chick Webb. But what's important is that Chick Webb is situated in one of the city's most, one of the areas that's most invested in now. It's called the Perkins Somerset Old Town Project area. And we kind of keep our eye on the ball because when you look at that particular area, it is connecting with what they call EBDI, which is East Baltimore Development Area over by Hopkins. And then you look even further north from Perkins and Somerset up to the new, to the Johnston Square community that's over off of Greenmount and Preston Street. And you look at Oliver and you look at Greenmount West. I don't know if you all know of these neighborhoods, but they're all in East. And you look at East Baltimore Midway. We have our eyes closed in regard to the developments that are taking place in all of those neighborhoods. But I try to keep my eye open. I'm keeping my eye open and just connecting the dots. And as we talk about crime in the city, if we really look at the city, you see a bunch of development still going on. So we must not just take our eye off the ball, but look at the economics that's taking place within the Baltimore communities. But I would like to really attention, and David helped me a whole lot, because in that particular area, what they call Perkins Somerset Old Town, that goes from the harbor on the east side up to Monument Street. And in that area, what I'm doing is Old Town. It's one of the first settlements here in Baltimore. And David helped me with identifying some of the black assets that's in the neighborhood, being that it's being redeveloped. We want to point out the black culture that's in that, within those boundaries there. And the Chick Webb Center is located there. And telling the story of Chick Webb, I'm going to Chick Webb, because how many people knew that Chick Webb in segregated Baltimore was the first, I mean, this is a African-American act. We didn't know that this particular recreation center was built from the ground up by nationally known black people and the black community of Baltimore. When the city was going to demolish it or recommended demolishing about 5 years ago, now we got it historic and taking it even further now for it to be developed beginning in January. It took 5 years, and we got $20 million for redevelopment of that rec center. But when you look at the personalities who came to build it, that included Joe Lewis and Ella Fitzgerald and Jackie Malmsley and Duke Ellington and Louis, people here in Baltimore didn't know that. They looked at this as an East Baltimore piece. But in fact, this is a world piece, because though a nationally known black folk that built that center, when people, black folk here in Baltimore didn't have a public facility to go to, like the Drew Hill Park and the Clifton Park and the Patterson Park. So we had to work to bring that to our community's attention. So I'm pretty happy about it. Recently, I'm going to jump a little bit to because recently we're going to celebrate the 75th. This is the 75th year of that particular recreation center. And I'm doing a concert, actually two concerts, that we won't be replicating the initial fundraiser or benefit that was done for the center, but I'm with an organization called RJY Chick Webb Council. And again, that's to elevate Chick Webb Rec Center beyond Baltimore City, but to take it national. But getting back on point, we're going to try in November, it's the 75th anniversary, and our organization is having two concerts. One will be at Keystone, and the other is going to be a free concert at Dunbar High School Theater. And we want to bring in the community, first of all, to enlighten them of the development of the center, as well as the assets which in the Old Town community, and bringing them on so they can be a part of making decisions in regard to how that rec center get redeveloped. And I'll say this, too often we do development in our communities and we become consumers. We are consumers because we're happy that apartments get built or something, but then we don't have anything to do with it. But in the case of Chick Webb, and I put it out there already, once it's completed, we should have a strong enough Black organization to manage and operate that particular recreation center. It was the death wish of our most famous drummer and band leader, and not to forget him being a philanthropist of Chick Webb. It was a memorial to him. It is time that we take that center and have it operated and managed by the Black community. Although, and we know the negligence of the Department of Rec City of Baltimore over the years, because it's in disrepair. As we're developing the Druid Hill Parks, and we're developing the Clifton Park and the Patterson Park and the Carroll Park, Black folk couldn't go to those places. So here we are now, and want to reach out more and share the story that we got 3 years to put together an entity that will manage and operate that center once it's redeveloped and bring in the services to the community. And being a former planner myself, those planners come in our neighborhood with pre-proposed guidelines. They wanted to put another gymnasium in the community, but we worked and having that, the new addition is going to be more like a multi-purpose facility, intergenerational use, rather than looking at a recreation center. So that is some of the things that I'm doing. And you can reach me by rjychickweb.com. That's our website. If it tells you a little bit more, it's new, but I'm bringing it up to speed. And I can be reached at rjychickweb@gmail.com. Love to talk to you further about this, spread the word about the Chick Webb Center, but I'm going beyond the Chick Webb Center and looking at our disenfranchised communities of Baltimore, that these developers do not just come in and we talk about gentrification, but actually it's re-gentrification, because Baltimore City was first founded by a number of immigrants, which were German, Polish, Irish. And then we assumed their spaces when they got benefits to develop the counties. So, but then as we have come in, we should embrace our communities. And our Black folks got to stop moving out and reinvest where their mama first bought their homes. And reinvest and not just buy a house out in the county and go in your garage and come out, but build a neighborhood that we can have economic development as well as comfort in our homes and build in. We cannot continue to leave the popo with the popo, because when we were segregated, you had doctors, lawyers, and teachers. If we look at our communities today, especially in the core city, we don't have those resources. We need the popo with the popo.
Yeah, well,
and we come in and try to mentor. But okay. Anyway, that's me for the night.
Okay, yeah, you know, let's, I appreciate it. You know, this is going to show you a gentleman like Mr. Ron Miles, who took a stand. because if he had not done that, you know, they would just went in there and did what they wanted to do, and you know, but this brother stood up. He recruited other people, and they got involved, and he showed up at the meetings, the planning meetings, and everything. And now they turning it around. And now he's the editor in the National Black Unity. He's bringing national, international exposure of what's taking place. And see, these are the type of blueprint. And not only that, he's keeping a historical figure alive. You know, because like he said, Chick Webb was a world famous drummer, and he made a lot of contributions to the jazz world, and he promoted a lot of singers like Ella Fitzgerald and a whole lot of other people. And on his deathbed, he wanted to do something for the community, and that's when the Joe Louises and all of them came together and raised money. They put on a show that equal to none. That raised enough money, and they, like you said, from the ground up. And see, this is what happened when you can start sharing our stories and somebody standing in the gap for us, you know. And that's, again, what we do with the National Black Unity News, you know, because, you know, most media, I'm just being honest about it, you know, they brought, and they're not going to open their mouth. And things like this will continue to happen to us. And just like you said, in our own community, yes, all of us moved out, moved here and there and everywhere because we were trying to buy into a dream that wasn't meant for us. It really wasn't, you know, you can take it any way you want to, but you know, but like you said before, and most of us were old enough to know when we couldn't go here and there and everywhere, they kind of kept, we did have strong communities when we was in there together. You know, we had, you know, you know, when we was coming up, you know, you didn't see a lot of mess because that places was clean inside and out. The streets was clean, you know, because we took pride in what we did, you know, and things like, you know, but see, like I say, something needs to be changed. Something needs to stay the same. But in any case, you know, I thank God for you because, like I say, he's fighting a good fight. You know, he picked his bat. He didn't have to do that, but he did. So thank God that he did do it because now, he has brought some sense of stability back to the Chick Webb community, and not only doing it for just Chick Webb, but the surrounding community as well. And as you heard him mention, if the model worked there, it can work all over the city, all over the country. But we had to stand up. We had to get involved. Okay, so we're not going to, like I said, it's a lot of folks on here tonight. And before we shut down, I'm just going to open up the mic because, like I say, there's about 15, 16 people on here. And I know a lot of you guys are doing a lot of wonderful things. And so I'm going to ask for some volunteers. If not, you know, I'll call you out. But just let us know what you're doing, why you're doing it, and how it can help us as a people. Anybody? Come on in. Okay.
Hey, David, I really want to push the concert that I'm doing at the Keystone on the 3rd. And we're doing the free concert on the 5th at Dunbar High School.
Can you put it in the chat?
I think I can do something technology.
Well, if not, you know, they can call me and I'll get them in touch with you.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah, because that's those who are in the Baltimore area at that time, because we have speaking of events, on November the 5th, Black Men Unifying Black Men, the organization, me and Bill Gooden, you know, a few of the founding members, we are putting on our second honor awards for black men. And just like Brother Ron was talking about how Chick Webb and them come together. See, we're not doing something like that, but, you know, we're honoring brothers who have put in the work over the years, who have made a difference in our communities. And, you know, this is just our second annual one. There's so many brothers. When you put these lists together, you know it's so many brothers, like several of them on here. We got one of our honorees on here with us tonight, and that's Mr. Michael Haney. He's going to be honored that night. And so congratulations to him because he truly deserves it. And we have so many deserving brothers that's going to be forthcoming. And next year we'll be doing 23, 24, and just keep going up. And so I just want you to know, for those who are in the area or would like to come, no, we still have tickets. Fran coming all the way from North Carolina. She's going to be in attendance. She came up last year. that's the type of dedication, you know, like Mr. Kathleen and Walter Murphy, they attended last year. And yours truly was honored, you know, and it was a special moment for me. And, you know, I don't take these things lightly because, you know, when you honor amongst your peers, it's special, you know. But again, all of us are special, whether you get awards, you know, because the thing that, like I say, the thing that we do on an individual basis is astronomical, but collectively we can get so much more done. And so I just want to thank everybody, you know, for, you know, being on this call tonight, because every time I come on here, because I'm around a group of people that inspire me, and it keeps me moving, keeps me pumped up, you know, because, you know, see, it's a wonderful thing, ladies and gentlemen, to have a purpose in life, to have a mission that, you know, that gets you up in the morning, and you know that you're making a difference, you know, and you sleep good at night, because at least you're trying. You know, and, you know, I know we, you know, people like us, I know we beat up on ourselves sometimes because we don't think we're doing enough. But I'm just going to share this with you. Like somebody told me recently, I think I don't see if she's still on here or not. Oh, she's gone, I think. It was Dr. Ali was on here. She called me the other day, and you know, I was telling her I was on a YouTube channel, you know, looking at some stuff so I can be better organized. Just reminded me that, you know, sometimes we be a little too hard on them. We try to push ourselves too hard sometimes, you know. But sometimes, you know, God created just the way you are. You know, we didn't get this far, you know, by, you know, trying to be like this or try to be like something else or try to do it this way, you know, like somebody else does it. You know, do the way you do it. And sometimes that's where it works out best for you. So, you know, again, I thank her for that, you know, that comment, because when I talk to the people that's involved in this publication, I get so many nuggets that alter my life and stuff. So, but again, Rama, you want to say something else? Okay, yeah, you muted, though. But in any case, Brother Cliff, what you got coming up, sir?
Okay, you caught me in the middle of typing. okay. First of all, greetings everyone, and I think I'll just say what I was typing. First of all, thanks again for holding this weekly forum and bringing all of these people here to discuss all these different things that they're involved in. So it's not to say the same thing that I say every time. I'll throw this out there. There is a difference between a politician, a manager, a supervisor, and a leader. A politician is someone who is put into a position either through election or appointment to fulfill a particular agenda, a political agenda normally. A manager is someone who is in charge of coordinating resources, things. A supervisor is someone whose responsibility is to direct people, tell people what to do, essentially boss them or just give them orders, give them directives. All of these people can hold those positions and not be a leader in any sense of the word. A leader is someone who other people will follow. And that is the only thing that makes a leader. If you're a supervisor and you're in charge of people, and no one follows you, no one does what you tell them, you're not a leader. All you are is a supervisor. If you're a manager and you're just moving money or moving resources or moving things around and no one follows you, you're not a leader. You're just a manager. If you're a politician pushing a political agenda and you don't have the people behind you, you are not a leader. You don't have to be any of those things to be a leader. The people that you have on this call right now, and the people who you're going to be honoring on November 5th at the Downtown Cultural Arts Center, those are people who have inspired others to follow them. Whether they have an official position, whether they have an elected position, or if there's someone who very few people outside of their circle and their community even know is there, those people are leaders. Those people are individuals who have inspired the masses or inspired their neighbors or inspired other activists to actually stand up and do positive things in their community. So that's what I mean when I say there is a difference between a politician, a manager, a supervisor, and a leader. You're going to be honoring leaders on November 5th. You've got leaders together on this call right now. And those are the things, those are the people who really move a community and help that community lift itself up.
I tell you, man. I tell you, something about Brother Cliff, man, the way he speaks, his wisdom, his knowledge, man, you know, I appreciate so much. And you know, Brother Cliff, again, he does so much for so many. And again, and I encourage y'all because this brother, like you see that circle behind him, that is a plan. That is a plan that can unite us all. You know, we can continue to do what we do, but we can do it collectively and effectively. And so, you know, and Cliff will have some, you know, town hall meetings that will be coming for, of course, you know, I'm going to put it out there. But I encourage y'all, the next one, get involved because we're coming close to making things, making that wheel spin. And once we make it spin, you know, then, you know, there's no stopping us. But like I say, things are happening, ladies and gentlemen, all throughout the diaspora, all over the world. People are coming together. They're networking one another. Even in your personal lives, y'all see how far you come as an individual. The things, the lives that you have are already affected. The things that you're planning on doing, a lot of us, like I was telling Fran earlier, may consider we may be retired from a career or some jobs or anything, but as an individual, we never retire. That's why we're on here now. Because something inside us won't let us go, won't let us sit down, won't let us just forget. How can we forget what's going on? How can you, even if you close your eyes and shut down your ears, you can't run from what's really taking place around us. And if we don't stand up and stand in the gap, not only for ourselves, our personal families, and our communities, then who will? That's why I said, if not us, then who? If not now, then when? Up to us. Like I say, as you just heard, ladies and gentlemen, those who are on Facebook Live, those who are on Blog Talk Radio. Now, you know, this is not planned. You know, I don't, you know, like I say, I'm unorthodox in a lot of ways. You know, I don't sit up there and say, well, I'm going to do this and have these people do, you know, I will be doing that the next year because I'm going to have a special podcast going to be pre-recorded. But the way we do things as we speak right now, it just that I just put it out there and people come on and then we just start talking. And sometimes I don't know what we're going to talk about, but you know, but nevertheless, things come out and you can see for yourself the gifts and talents that these individuals have who's on this podcast right now. And see, these are the people that make the National Black Unity News what it is and how effective that, what it, you know, it's the services that we provide. And so again, for those who have not yet subscribed, get a subscription this year. And also, if you can't subscribe, go on the line, look at the publication, because like I say, it will enhance your quality of life. Not only will it do that, but you will get information that you can't get anyplace else. And then if you dig a little deeper, and then you read all of the articles in the publication, you will see just a glimpse of some of the talents and gifts that the individuals that write those articles have. Because like you see, I've already seen everybody on here is multi-talented in so many ways and gifts. And they just sharing, they're just the tip of the iceberg with you. You know, when they start telling their stories. And see, if you've been with like Fran Allen and Dr. McKenzie and everybody else on here, you know, as Kathleen Murphy and them, see, they be sharing, they be pouring their hearts out. Because this is what's in their hearts. And I told y'all many times before, I've been published for over 40 years, but you know, with this publication, the National Black Unity News, this is the 99% feedback that I get. I love this paper. I love it. And I know, and like I say, I know why, because like I say, the people behind the scenes, they are full of love, caring, and they share. And so, and it permeates off the pages now. You know, people just feel to get, you know, the auras on the paper. And because when I put the paper together and I put the individual articles in there, and it's not that I'm in the witchcraft or nothing like that, but I kind of channel the individuals that's, you know, while I'm working on their page, I kind of chatted because I get to read their stories while I'm putting it together. And by knowing them, not really knowing, I know of them, and knowing how their hearts are and everything else, why they shared, and it's so amazing. And like I said, and I tell you all the time, by divine inspiration, only God could assemble such a group of people to have hearts the way they do and willing to share information out there for you. And before I shut down, I just wanted to give anybody else want to share something. I see Teaching Art Institute on there. Is that you, brother? Haki or Kim Poole? Because I know Kim be working sometimes. She can't speak sometimes. But if you'd like to share something, can you unmute yourself? Okay, so she may be at work. And so, but in any case, that's another young lady who has crisscrossed the world. And I call her an ambassador because she has taken this paper to so many different countries in Africa and all over the country. Because she's been involved with all, you know, a lot of things and statewide as well, all across, you know, because every time I turn around, she's here, she's there, she's everywhere. And I just spoke to Mr. Neil Spencer. He's on here as well from out of Texas. And he's organizing black businesses in that area. So, you know, kudos to him as well. And, of course, Brother Rico, as his niece just mentioned, that he does so many wonderful things, you know, feeding the homeless, the needy, sharing. And he works with so many other organizations. He just don't go with his organization. But he's involved with just about everybody who's given something here in Baltimore, you know. So kudos to him as well. And so, Satawi, Eartha.
Hey, Dave. Well,
yes.
I did want to piggyback just for a hot second off of
something that
Cliff said. Cliff is absolutely right. You know, there are people who have different positions, and those positions, they may not be leaders, but any of those people who have other folks that they are responsible for, whether they're bossing them, whether they're managing them, whether they're representing them or whatever, if the person that is sitting in the seat, the politician, the manager, the supervisor, the one that's sitting in the seat, if that person does not have the best interests of the people that they are responsible for at heart, and if their focus is really selfish and self-absorbed and to get what they can get without respect for the impact that it is going to have on the people that they're supposed to be looking out for, then they're a person that should not have the position that they're wielding. And I'm saying that because we're in a political season right now, and we're electing people for reasons that have nothing to do with their ability to do the job. We're electing people to sit in these seats who haven't done a dang thing for anybody for many, 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 many years, and we keep sitting them back in those seats and then still fussing about what we're not getting and what isn't happening in our community, and why we can't get the housing, and why we can't get the loan, and why our kids can't get some books, and how come the schools are cold because they won't put no heat in some and they won't put no air in the others. All of those are choices for us anyway. So think about what Cliff said. These guys, there is a specific set of responsibilities that they are supposed to adhere to for those particular positions. And if they're not doing the jobs, stop giving them the check. Put somebody else in a seat that you know, or better yet, start grooming somebody to run against these folks. Because sometimes the picking is really, you know, which one is the lesser of two evils, as opposed to this guy is really the best guy for the job. So we need to stop looking at what there is, and if we don't like what our choices are, then stop choosing from that list. Create your own list. Groom somebody. Groom somebody. We all can do that.
That's right.
We can all get together and say, you know what? I like Haki for this delegate seat, and I'm going to get behind Haki because I know his values are right. I know that he has a heart of service. I know that he is an honest person from his soul, and he is not going to do wrong. So so that he could put a check in his pocket. I know that about him, so I'm going to vote for him. Those are the reasons why you vote for people, not because you think that, well, if I vote for him, then they'll push this bill that'll get my business, this, that, or the other. That's not the reason why. Because if he's only going to do something for you, he's not going to do something for everybody else. So Cliff is right. You go to the chat and read what he wrote about the responsibilities of each of these people, because it's absolutely true. But at the end of the day, if you don't like the choices that there are, stop picking amongst the list that we have and create our own list and put the people that really look like us, that are really going to do right by us, for us, with us, in those seats and let them do something different. And stop making those deals underneath the table with those people that don't look like us, that only write the check for you. Because that's not who we need in the office. And that's why Baltimore partly is in the shape that it's in.
That's right.
All right, I'm done. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because, like I said, if change is going to take place, it's going to have to start with us. You know, we can't keep doing the same old things and not knowing. You know, like I say, we pulling switches and buttons and all of that, and don't even know who we pulling them for, you know, and why we pulling it, you know, just because it's there, you know, because he looks this way or they act that way, you know, with no substance behind them, you know.
Yes.
So again, you know, we're going to have to be wise stewards, because, you know, a friend of mine, a mentor of mine said, I used to tell people, you know, I never was that interested in politics. But he mentioned to me one day, he said, yeah, I understand where you're coming from. But he said, do you know they even regulate the air you breathe? And that was a powerful statement. I said, man, you're right. Because, you know, when it comes to education, quality of life, you know, I mean, everything around you, you know, they legislating on that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you wonder why one part of town looked this way and another part of town looked that way. Why the resources going over there and not coming here? You know, because none of us are standing up, and nobody's holding nobody account. And if you're not going to be accountable, we got to get you out of there. You know, so I thank you, Cliff, as well as Fran, for piggyback on that, because it is crucial that this is serious times. You know, we just got to stop some of these old ways of doing things. If not, like you heard the old story, keep doing what we've been doing, we're going to keep getting what we got. So. And so things are going to have to change. And so and tomorrow night, ladies and gentlemen, you know, getting a little to that hour, that, you know, we would have our podcast on where we speak pretty much about the National Black Unity News and the editors that are involved with it. Kathleen Murphy, can you unmute?
Yes.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you, David?
I'm still here.
I've been enjoying the comments from everyone.
Right. And if you have anything to share, I mean, you know, I would like for you. I normally would invite people tomorrow. I prefer you to do it.
Well, just know that Tuesday night is about the newspaper business. Also gather to get to know the new editors. Tomorrow night, our managing director is probably going to come on with some information that's going to assist all of us. So that's tomorrow night at 7:30, and the link will be sent out either tonight or in the morning. So that's all I have.
All right. Okay. Thank you. Anyone else, you know, before we shut down?
Yes. I'd like to piggyback off what Fran and my compadre just stated. When we go to the polls, remember, never put novice in office. We're putting people that one time we had the moral majority. You put them in office and they went to D.C. and messed it up. And then you had Cromwell Donald. He went to D.C. with no experience. Put people in office that have some experience, at least down on the level, boards and commissions. That's where you begin. If they don't have that experience, don't even deal with them. Thank you.
I appreciate that, sir. Anyone else? In closing, greetings.
Hey, this is Eartha. How y'all guys doing?
There you go. Okay.
I know, there's so much going on and not enough time in the day, but just want to thank everybody that came out and supported the commemoration of Million Man March. Everything is going real well. We got some up-and-coming things in place. People are donating to help finish the documentary. If you haven't heard about the documentary, we want the men to be able to tell their stories, but tell it in the form of before, during, and after the march, so we can get a real good perspective of something that happened historical in our lifetime, but it wasn't that one day that created that history. It was a combination of the struggles that we continually talk about and have in place. And again, for those of you who don't know, every October the 16th, rain, hail, or shine, we meet at Drew Hill Park at 6 a.m. in the morning and do a sunrise prayer. Why? Because you can't do a sunrise prayer at 11, 12, or 1, so you got to come out early. So I know it's hard, but when you get there, it is very, very spiritually enlightening, and we had a good turnout. We do a reflection breakfast. Usually it's at the Art Social Club, because we definitely want to also pull our resources into institutions and ideas that's ongoing. That way you can, again, catch up with a lot of things that's happening in the community that represents and reflects, like you said, this history that we continually build on. If you haven't heard, J. Wendell Gordon has put out a call for us to help him. He's dealing with the case of the young man who shot the young man shot the guy who came after him after he washed his windows and bent his thing or whatever, got angry at him. And you can go find out the whole story or partially the story on J. Wendell Gordon's page. But he's calling, like they said, Lottie Dottie and everybody, because nowadays with so much social media attention, a lot of cases are really won in public opinion. So we need to make sure that we have our ears and eyes on that and be a part of that to contribute. And one of the things we can do is utilize our resources. I know that I'm going to be talking about it on my radio show, again, which comes on Saturdays on WLOV 1010 from 1 to 2. And also we have plans to do a fundraiser down at the garage facility. We're down there on Tuesdays anyway, so you guys are welcome to come and utilize our Tuesdays for networking or whatever you want to use it for. But just, you know, brainstorm and think of what you can bring to the table so we can keep this collective unity ball moving.
All right. Thank you, Eartha. Yeah, we talked about that earlier, and I reached out to him, and so did Brother McKenzie, who's on with him, too, because, like you say, it does take the village, and we heard the cry, you know, so hopefully other people will get involved, you know, because, like I say, this is our community. They are our children, you know, and I thank God for them two brothers, two lawyers who stood up, but the, even more so, you know, like you said, the village, you know, he put out a call to the village, and hopefully the village will show up, you know, stop talking. We just have to put in some work. Whoever get in will be fit in, like you say.
Right.
Yes, for everybody, with all of these gifts and talents that we have, no excuse for us to combat that negative press that I've been seeing on the news, how they, now tonight they're going to be talking about other squeezy children, like you say, the public of opinions of the public, and they are already persuading them already, you know, to go against them. So, but in any
and
case,
that's why I want to make sure that we, to me, I'm suggesting this: don't overwhelm yourself, guys. Try to do three things, and I do it just to make my life simple because I'm very busy. A, push the information out, whatever way you can push it out. If you don't have outlets like me and Dave, just tell somebody, talk to somebody, so we won't say that nobody knows, right? The second important piece, even if you just donate a dollar, if you don't know where to give it at, you can either give it to me. We can funnel it through our nonprofit organization. But don't always think that we don't need funding, even though he's doing it pro bono. Mm-hmm. And then the third piece, like they said, fits, you know, see where you fit in. You know, and we all got skills. And I love the way J. Wendell listed it down. He listed any skills you got, he's willing to take and try to figure out how they can utilize your skill to help with this case. So, like I said, if we individually.
Yeah, cut off some kind of way. Okay. Brother Satawi, your hand raised?
No, sir.
Okay, you look like your hand is real. Okay. All right, so. Focus she's coming. Before we shut down, ladies and gentlemen, is there anybody else would like to share something or make a comment or anything before we shut down? Anybody?
Greetings, yes.
I don't know quite sure who sent me the link for this show tonight, but I was grateful for the link because I didn't know of the existence of the Black National Unity News, or the, I'm sorry, the National Black Unity News, and because that's kind of what has been my focus of my life since I did my knowledge of self studies, and I just want to put my offer my talents to help any way I can our situation here in Baltimore. And one of the things I do for the last 13 years, I've been making hydrogen fuel cells, essentially. I just wanted to, you know, and also I'd like to, if I could, is it Brother Ron Miles? Because I'm also an audio engineer and electronic technician, and his endeavor with the Chick Webb endeavor, I would love to speak to him. I hopefully I got his email right. But I'm here in Baltimore. I've got I'm here to offer my talents, do whatever I can to help.
Yes, sir. Now I know. I sent you the link. Yes, because you and I talked many years ago about your project, and I just didn't see you understood by the name you have here. Okay.
So you sent me the link?
Yes, I did.
Oh, all right. I would love, if it's possible, I would love to speak with you and just, you know, talk about some, because I know you're at the press for time and there may be other people want to speak, but yeah, I'd like to just reconnect and let you know the new developments that have gone on and some new opportunities for us.
Okay, will do, sir. I got your number.
All right, very good. Thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, Mr. Neil Spencer, your hand is raised. You have to unmute yourself, sir. All right. Mr. Neil Spencer, unmute yourself, sir. Okay, well, he's working that out. Anyone else? All right. Remember the old saying, you have not because you ask not, and when the opportunity knocked, you didn't enter in, so you never know. Because I'm going to tell you something. I'm evolving so much that if you see me coming, I ain't going to be ashamed. I'm going to ask you. I got to get it done. Time wasted. But in any case, I thank each and every one of you. I hope Mr. Neil Spencer can come in before we shut it down. And it's a lot of information in the chat, quite a bit of information in the chat, ladies and gentlemen. So check it out. And if you want to, if you don't have the information, I will. It's just, you know, automatic record. That's why I just don't put the recording on here because, the way I have this thing set up, it automatic records for me. So if you want the information in here, or just call me because I have majority of the. Matter of fact, I have everybody numbers who are on here because I'm the one who sent the information out. But in any case, I just want to thank each and every one of you for your participation. And y'all keep doing what you've been doing. And, but just connect the dots because we can do much more together. And I want to thank everybody who participated this evening because, like I say, I'm a student. And every time I come on, I learn something new. And like I say, thank you. And I'm going to see you tomorrow night. If you can make it tomorrow night, I appreciate it. And you never know who you may meet, but you may come across the information that may go forth. And so thank you again. And I'm going to bid you all a pleasant good night. Take care of yourselves.
Good night, all.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. God bless.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good peace night. And health. Peace and health.
Good night, everybody.
Goodbye. y'all. I never thought that I would be able to reuse the audio of this clip, but the police came and I left and survived to tell you this story, guys. All right, let's get straight to it. So I went to go visit my fiance. I know, I haven't told you guys I was engaged yet, but I was in the middle of filming, living in my car, in band, Q&A plus two. And I was going to tell y'all I am not single. I am engaged. And I have not really told anyone, so, but then this happened. 2 hours away from home. I like to stay local in case. So, I'm trying to tell, okay, listen, guys, really quickly. So, here's the thing. So, I've been filming and posted in this neighborhood, and the neighborhood basically is stalking me at this point because, they think I'm in a white van. All right. Let's rewind to the beginning. So I arrived to see my fiance a little bit earlier than I intended. She wasn't ready for me. She was still cleaning. And I was not trying to be part of that. So I leave and I go to this parking lot to just hang out and chill in my van because I live in here and that's what I do. I park at the very, very end. No one is next to me. I'm not bothering anyone. So I'm in this parking lot. I wasn't there for more than 5 minutes. When this dude comes up in his truck, parks right in front of the van, he gets out and starts peeking in the windows like, hey, is this for sale? He's yelling out, is this for sale? Is this for sale? I have to crack the back window and yell out like, no, go away. Like, it's not for sale. He's like, okay, I'm sorry, my bad. And then he gets in his truck, he circles around and goes right back into his driveway. He saw me park there because he was outside cutting grass and his driveway is right across the street from the parking lot. I was on the very end of it, nowhere near his house, not bothering anyone, just literally minding my business. 10 minutes later, he does the same thing. He drives up to the van, he revs up his engine, and then he turns around and goes and parks right back in his driveway, like trying to intimidate me. 2 minutes later, he does the same exact thing. So within like 30 minutes, I've already had an encounter with him 3 times. There was another dude, but I can only show you his backside because when he got out of the truck, his thing was hanging out. I don't know why, but I guess he assumed the van was also for sale, but I don't know why he walked to the back of it with his, I don't know. I guess he was trying to get a discount. I have no idea. Eventually, I left. My fiance was ready for us to go have dinner, and that was that. A couple days later, I needed to film a video, so I went back to the parking lot. I wasn't thinking anything of it. I was just trying not to be in anyone's way. And then the same dude comes again, drives around the van, revs up his engine, and then just goes back into his driveway. I don't know what he was trying to do. I don't know. But I just knew that I wasn't going to park there anymore.
So the next day when I went to the store, I decided to leave out of the neighborhood on a different street so that he wouldn't see me coming in and out.
I see this dead-end street. It's in an open area. No houses are nearby. And I was like, this is perfect. I can be out in the sun. I can chill. I can edit my videos. I can film videos. I can do whatever I want. Just normal shit that I do, living in my van. So I went to go film my next video at the dead end. And ironically, the dude in the truck is friends with the guy who lives across the street from the dead end. And he just happened to be at his house that moment when I was filming. So once again, he sees me. He comes with my van. And then he pulls off when he sees that I pick up my phone to film him.
Why, what was the point of this? Still the same dude who keeps following me. It was really the same thing, dude. He's following me. It was really the same dude. Anyway, so one of the things that I just do is keeps following me. Literally keeps following me. After he drives off, his friend comes and talks to me through the window, but I'll tell you what he said in a minute. So that, he left, but the next day, guys, it just goes on and on. The next day, we get a text from my fiance's neighbor talking about, SOS, the cops are outside taking pictures of your van. I'm like, what the fuck? What is going on around here?
20 minutes later, another guy walks up to the window. This is and I'm like, no, I was my friend saw him circling around, and I was because there's a lot going on just in general trying to film there. So be just staying here. And there's a lot that happens between that conversation with the cop and what actually happens. Over the course of the next few days, everywhere I went, people were just acting fucking weird around me, taking pictures, chasing after me, just giving me weird looks. I'd be driving down the neighborhood and kids are like running and jumping off their bikes. Oh, shit. Oh, boy. And I'm like, why is this still going on? Because we talked to the cop, we talked to a few neighbors, and at this point, I was like, okay, something else is going on. And then I remember that when the officer was there, one of the neighbors mentioned something about a post online. We found the post, and there were almost 200 comments just coming up with these stories about what's going on with the van, taking pictures of the van and posting it online and patrolling the house. Like, they were going around and clocking, like, go with 11-something p.m., the van's still there. It's 2 a.m., the van is still there. I basically had a target on my back and didn't even know it. After I saw all of that, I'm like, that's not going to stop me from living my life. Like, I can't, I'm like, what do you want me to do? I'm not going to let people scare me out of doing what I do on a regular basis. So the next day, I went back to the van so that I can film the Q&A response. The video I posted, this is exactly why I don't monetize my videos, even though I have a million followers. And that's when shit hit the fan.
So this is the first person I showed you. Got another one right here. All right, so she's woken up. She's okay.
Can I help you?
What are you doing?
I am chilling in my van. What are you doing?
The police are coming.
Good. At this point, I call my fiance. I'm like, yo, you have to come over here. They just called the cops. Neighbors are out, and I'm being surrounded. Help me. Hang up. Just start filming. That's what I did.
Good.
I'm good. How are you? He immediately asked me to step out the van, but didn't ask me my name or why I was there. So I said, I'll step out on the vehicle when she gets here. Dude, I literally just told you I will, but I'm waiting for her because I'm out here alone. But my girl was taking too long. I was like, shit, getting kind of aggressive. So I had to get my black ass out of there.
Well, let's step out of the vehicle. Out of the vehicle. Oh, there she is. Step to the vehicle. You got the thing on you when you're in
all the- No.
Stay over there.
Do not drive up on us. Stay over there. So this is who I'm...
I don't care. We're on a stop. They're not going to drive up on us.
Well, you said I can record.
You can record. You had the phone.
Okay.
Go ahead and put your hands on your back.
Do you see a person? Why am I being detained? Why am I being detained?
I'm not going to hit you.
Do you have...
Turn around. Put your hands on.
You got it? You got it?
Turn around.
I have no idea. The lady who called the cops, you can hear in the background screaming at my fiance when she just asked her, like, what's going on. She didn't know who called the cops, but she just asked the nearest person, like, what's happening, what's going on, because she knew that she couldn't approach me. Meanwhile, they also cuffed my girl. I don't even understand why she was cuffed. She pulled up and asked what was going on, but she never even approached us. After sitting in the back for 45 minutes, they finally let me go because they couldn't charge me with anything. But they did give me a ticket for parking on the wrong side of the road of a dead-end street. And after I found the ticket, guess what he finally asked? Yeah. After 45 minutes, they finally asked me what I was even doing in the first place. The whole time I was in the back of the truck, I was in there by myself. Nobody asked me shit. Fast forward a little bit more. Some of the shit happened, but this video is becoming way too long, so I'm trying to wrap it up. The cops left, but there were still some neighbors out, so we went to go talk to them. I showed them my social media. I showed them the video of the dude circling me in the truck. I showed them the video where I'm filming myself as everything is unfolding. There was no apology, no sympathy. It was just like, well, you need to understand where we're coming from. And I do. Like, you were concerned about your kids. get it. You were concerned. But how concerned were you? And I say you because I know that y'all are watching. I showed you my social media and you followed me. You guys just wanted to take pictures and then act tough online, but you weren't concerned enough to do anything preventative. Why didn't you write a note and put it in the windshield? Like, hey, we're concerned. We've never seen this man before. Can you please call one of these numbers?